The page is open, and I see his hastily scrawled handwriting. 1:06 a.m. The lights are above the mountain tonight. They haven't moved since my last report. It looks as though two of them have split off from the main object and are circling the area, as though looking for something. I wonder what it is. 1:22 a.m. The lights have rejoined and are now moving slowly across the sky, occasionally disappearing altogether. They're heading in a southbound direction, towards the canyon. Perhaps they're attracted to Mr. Murphy's flock. 1:27 a.m. The lights have stopped moving. They're now just hovering in place over the canyon. 1:32 a.m. The lights have disappeared. I tried refocusing the telescope and scanning over the horizon, but I can't make out anything. That might be it for tonight.
Welcome back to the Rainy Day Horror Show. I'm Big Daddy D, and you're listening to the number one podcast on the internet. And on today's short Reddit horror story episode, Dusty found yet another beautiful, terrifying little tale to share with you guys. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce your host for this evening's show, Dusty McBalls, aka the Certified Cougar Hunter, and your host with the most. Now sit back, shut up, and enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Big D, for that beautiful little intro. And yes, like he said, there is another beautiful story that I was able to find for today's short Reddit horror story episode. So, this is going to be a good one. It's going to be great, all right? It is, okay? I don't do a whole lot of alien stuff on this channel. So this is one of those alien stories. So for you alien people, you're going to love it, okay? For you non-alien people, it's still terrifying. Nonetheless, okay? Not going to lie. It's got suspense and it's fucking spooky. And there's also a funny fucking comment that was commented, believe it or not, on this story. And I think it's so fucking funny because it is just a sarcastic dude being an asshole, and I just love it. I fucking love it. So, without further ado, we're going to jump into this episode. It's a medium long one, so get ready, get dug in. It's going to be a good time. So, this story comes from the subreddit Scary Stories, with the user being The Lost Library. And the title of this story is 2:27 a.m. So, hold on, I got a cough. I didn't want to do that in front of the mic because I don't want to blow out your little eardrums. So, we're jumping into it. Let's get ready. My eyes shot open.
the nightmare having woke me up. Okay, that sounds weird, but the nightmare, well, I'm going to reword it. The nightmare waking me up. A nightmare about my son. I took in a deep breath, stuttering breath, that soon turned into a fit of coughing as it caught my throat. My head swam as I reeled from the pain of my illness, and the effects of the awful nightmare as they worked in tandem to rip me away from sleep. I stiffly sat up, my nose a stuffy mess as I looked around the room. All was still in the moonlit summer night, until I broke into another coughing fit that threatened to expel my lungs. I flung myself back into my bed, my head hitting my moist pillow, causing me to sit up in disgust and turn it over. That's when I felt it, a feeling that something was wrong. Very, very wrong. Goosebumps broke out on my skin as I looked around the room, my dulled senses on full alert. My eyes popped when I flexed my jaw reflexively, a habit I had developed when I was trying to figure something out. Nothing looked out of place, but I couldn't shake the feeling of something missing. I gingerly swung my feet off the bed, putting on my slippers and meekly standing up. I groaned as I placed my palm to my forehead, as I nearly lost my balance, my head pounding for a moment before settling down. After regaining my composure, I slowly walked to my bedroom door. "Toby," I called out weakly, nearly breaking into another coughing fit. The feeling was stronger now. Something was very wrong. I just knew it. My maternal instincts kicked in as I remembered the nightmare. I needed to know my son was okay. I listened, popping my ears again as I flexed my jaw. No response, only silence. That wasn't right. I should be able to hear him moving around in his room and talking to himself, like he usually did when he stargazed. I shuffled my way to my bedroom's open doorway, leaning on the doorframe before calling out again, louder this time. "Toby, Toby Tobersons, Tobe Dog, Tobe Daddy, Tobias." Nothing. After some time, I pushed forward into the hallway, leaning against the wall for support. My throat felt parched and itchy as I realized I hadn't drunk any water in a while. Ignoring my discomfort in my throat, I shuffled my way down the hall towards Toby's room. "Toby?" Still, no answer. After a few moments, I reached the door and knocked, calling out his name once more before twisting the knob and letting myself in. The room stood empty before me, the lamp on his desk the only source of light in the entire room, and an alarm clock next to it reading 2:30 a.m. "Toby," I said, the feeling of something amiss now twisting into a knot of dread in my stomach. I looked to the big picture window, Toby's telescope pointed to the sky above the forest outside, a mountain range far in the distance. Next to it, on the floor, lay his quote-unquote sky journal, as he put it, a spiral-bound notebook where he recorded his nightly observations. My little astronomer, I like to call him. A memory flashed in my mind. The two of us sitting at the kitchen table as he gushed about his latest stargazing adventure. I smiled as I sipped my tea, looking over the rim of my cup at his gentle face, lost in the wonder of his own world. Suddenly, my smartphone rings and I apologize as I answer. It was a call from work. He looks disappointed for a moment before he smiles and picks up his notebook, getting up from the table. Quietly, he approaches me and whispers, "I'll tell you about the lights later, Mom," before leaving for his room. Something itches in the back of my mind as the memory fades, and I make my way into his room. I slowly approach the telescope, bending down to pick up the notebook. My congestion makes it feel like my brain is about to spill out. But I succeed in retrieving his sky journal from the floor. The page is open, and I see his hastily scrawled handwriting. 1:06 a.m. The lights are above the mountain tonight. They haven't moved since my last report. It looks as though two of them have split off from the main object and are circling the area, as though looking for something. I wonder what it is. 1:22 a.m. The lights have rejoined and are now moving slowly across the sky, occasionally disappearing altogether. They're heading in a southbound direction, towards the canyon. Perhaps they're attracted to Mr. Murphy's flock. 1:27 a.m. The lights have stopped moving. They're now just hovering in place over the canyon. 1:32 a.m. The lights have disappeared. I tried refocusing the telescope and scanning over the horizon, but I can't make out anything. That might be it for tonight. 2:18 a.m. I was about to head to bed, thinking that was the last of the lights for tonight, but they have reappeared, resuming observations. 2:22 a.m. The lights are moving in a northward direction, away from the canyon. I wonder what that little trip was all about. 2:23 a.m. The lights have stopped. They're hovering in place again, but not over the canyon. They're hovering over the forest. There's something different about this. Almost as if they're considering something. 2:25 a.m. The lights are getting bigger and brighter. I can make out the main object better now. It looks like a pill. It's heading this way. I'm going to dim the lights. 2:27 a.m. The lights are above. The page flapped in my face. A cool breeze starting up from seemingly nowhere. I turned around, surveying the room once more. It was then that I noticed something I didn't before. A small scattering of shattered glass near the foot of Toby's bed, sitting in a small pool of moonlight. Slowly, I approached the mess, my heart skipping a beat in my chest as I neared. dread building up even more in my system. Scenes from my nightmare flashing in my head. Everything's all right. Everything is all right. Toby just dropped a glass. The moonlight poured out from above, lighting the glass shards, sparkling like stars on the floor. A breeze came again, pushing my hair in my face. I brushed it away and looked up. I screamed. Toby loved astronomy and had always wanted to look at the night sky at any given opportunity. He loved it so much that I had a skylight installed in his room, my little astronomer. Sometimes I would find him laying on the floor, staring up through it at night, yearning to touch the sky. I looked at that same skylight now, broken up, the jagged edges of glass dripping crimson. Tears formed in my eyes as I looked at the frame where bloody handprints lay, smeared upward, as if my son, my Toby, had been dragged up into the night sky. And that is the end of the story. Good story. Great story. Enjoyed it thoroughly. But I want to read the comment before we wrap this episode up, okay? One comment comes from Glitch Plays 7172, and it says, "I didn't get it. Did he get abducted by aliens? ? And then there's a dude called Local Miner that replied to said comment saying, "Based on the bit about the forest and the lights looking like they were considering something, I believe that it was implied that yes, he was abducted by aliens." That's so fucking funny. Some people just have too much time on their hands, but that shit is so fucking funny. I love that. But yeah, that's a good story. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Like I said, it was creepy, right? Just imagine, right? You're sitting there, just looking at the fucking stars, and all of a sudden, some gray mattered dudes just decide to abduct you, bro. I'd be so fucking pissed. Don't even get me started. I would be fucking livid. I'd be throwing fisticuffs, right? I'd be battling it out with those alien bros, right? Just, oh yeah, I would fucking lose my shit. But yeah, it was a good story. Good story. Nothing like, you know what? Maybe that's what they should do. Maybe we should allow aliens to come to Earth and to get, you know, earthly citizenship. They have to, like, duke it out with, like, one of the baddest fighters on this planet. Like, I don't know. One alien has to fight, like, Rampage Jackson or some shit like that. Or they have to get in the octagon with fucking Conor McGregor. And if you beat Conor McGregor, or if you beat, you know, Rampage Jackson or Chuck Liddell or any one of those guys, Francis Ngannou, Then you get earthly citizenship. That'd be so fucking funny. That'd be so funny. But I hope you guys had a good day. I had an okay day. We're just got a new system at work, and it's just, you know. I mean, we figured it out today, but yesterday, oh my God. Shit was awful, but we're figuring it out. It was, you know, it wasn't too terrible today. It was a slower day, thankfully, but, you know, we were able to get it done. So, I don't really have anything else for you guys. This Friday, yes, this Friday, we are doing Hope Diamond Part 2. So, that's going to be excited. And then on Sunday, Oklahoma. We're headed to you, okay? And we are going to be doing the serial killer, the BTK killer. Which, don't groan. I know he's a mainstream serial killer. I know. But personally, I want to do this episode just to talk shit about him. I think he's one of the dumbest fucking serial killers that there is available, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, he is so fucking stupid. Out of all the serial killers, this dude is fucking dumb as shit. So fucking stupid. Like, there used to be a documentary on him on Netflix, I believe. And I watched it. I watched it a while ago. And after I watched it, I was like, this dude is so fucking stupid. And it was just how he got caught. Dude could have not gotten back into killing and probably would have never been connected. But no. Dude had to go back out and kill again, but he didn't even, like, attempt in, like, not getting caught. Guy was fucking stupid, but we'll talk more about that on Sunday. So, I'm gonna let you guys go. Remember, stay frosty, stay foxy, and most importantly, the most important thing on this planet, stay safe, you beautiful peacocks. I love y'all. Deuces.